The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
A number of messages coming through. I will get to them as soon as I can. Right now, time check, 19 and a half minutes past five. And that's where we are. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and also spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation. Rolene, good afternoon to you. Thank you once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. Always a pleasure to be with you.
And lots of people are standing by for Ro to give us her report. Rolene, let's start with the Shin Bet report. Over to you. Let's go through it and then unpack it from there.
Well, as we've been speaking about, the IDF have conducted their internal inquiries into the failures that led to the 7th of October. Yesterday, they released the studies into Kibbutzim, Netiva, Sara, as well as Nachal Oz. As you recall, some of you, that Nachal Oz is divided into a base and into a kibbutz, and the kibbutz was also hit on the 7th of October. Now, yesterday, you and I spoke about the fact that the head of the Shabak, Ronen Bar, said that he will step down once all the hostages come home. We still have 59 hostages now held for 516 days. Guys, we cannot let the world forget about them. We have to be screaming about our hostages. But the Shabak have identified failures from their internal probe, which also indicates that actions by intelligence chiefs could have avoided or at least significantly lessened the impact. So let's go through some of the key findings. So we'll look at the first, and the first is that Hamas operatives activated 45 Israeli SIM cards, which should have alerted intelligence analysts to the fact that they were perhaps mobilizing. But the Shabak took no major action. The second big finding is that Shin Bet's preparations for possible Hamas actions did not account for the possibility of Hamas operating, you know, almost like a military. And if we do analyze the plans of attack on the 7th of October, and we take out the obvious emotion and pain, you can see that this was extremely, extremely well organized and well planned. Now, months before, in May, if you will recall, there were those couple of days where we had Guardians of the Wall, Operation Guardians of the Wall, where we had that escalation of rocket attacks on Israel and a military response. And when we spoke about it, one of the concerns was, is Hamas involved in it at all? And the indications we got was no, it was Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Hamas are not interested in a major conflagration with Israel. Little did we know they were planning for something infinitely worse on the 7th of October. Some of the other findings, years of defensive government policy allowed Hamas to grow stronger. Now, this is a very controversial one, because we do know that we allowed money to go into the Gaza Strip through the Qataris. Basically, the rationale behind that was that if a mollified Hamas was in the Gaza Strip, then we wouldn't have any kind of major issues. It was kind of like, let's give them a carrot. Hamas's plan for a wide-scale invasion was known but never treated as a credible, actionable threat. You've heard of the walls of Jericho, that operation, some of the murmurings around that. You know, it was predicted that Hamas could plan some kind of invasion. And unfortunately, we've seen what happens when we don't take Hamas seriously. And intelligence gaps between the IDF and Shin Bet harmed Israeli response. And so that is really a question of communication and efficiency. We cannot afford for any intelligence, any concerns, for there to be gaps. And I think that, as the outgoing chief of staff said today, you know, we need to have a state inquiry, something that Netanyahu is pushing against. We need to have a state inquiry, not to point fingers, but we need to understand what went wrong. Let's get to the roots of the problem. We need to fix this. We can never allow for this to happen again.
Roline, sorry, I just want to change the subject slightly. I'm getting a lot of complaints from people saying that we're on and off air. The technicians have been alerted, so do bear with us. We are having some inclement weather, so we will try to get you, well, get a restore reception as soon as possible. One of my listeners, I don't know what your name is, just leave us your first name so we know who we are chatting to. And yes, it is annoying, especially with the segment with Ro, with the transmission going on and off. Ronin, what I wanted to ask you was, how is the public receiving this report right now? What has been the reaction?
Well, that's a good question. The public, you know, it's a mix of emotions. It's the incredible sadness of the magnitude of the attacks. It's incredible frustration of the lapses that led to the failures. I think it's also a lot of understanding when you read through the report and you see how there were responses on the day and what maybe kept soldiers who were fighting in various other places from getting to the kibbutzim. It's incredible, incredible sadness that there were issues that could have been sorted out and clearly weren't, and we paid the heaviest price. But it's also, it's very, very welcome that we do have these investigations. We are a democracy, and in a democracy, you hold your national institutions, your military, your government, and all related security institutions, you hold them responsible. They have a sacred covenant with the people of this country, and that is to keep us safe. And if they have broken that contract in any way, they need to, first of all, take accountability and do the necessary inquiries and investigations, which we see are underway. And that's why Israelis want the Prime Minister to conduct an investigation. And it's not just the Israeli population or citizens. It's also the hostage families, and in particular, Yaden Bibas, who has written an impassioned letter to Prime Minister Netanyahu saying, please, we want a state inquiry. And to echo what Herzi Halevi said today, it's not to accuse and point fingers. It's to get to the root of the problem.
Noraline, as I mentioned yesterday, no doubt now that reports are starting to come out, this is going to definitely be an ongoing conversation. Just a few minutes left, but I don't want to rush you. Something else we wanted to look into, the Arab states versus Trump's plan for Gaza. Your take on that?
Well, as we know, President Trump threw out that plan that I think would drop the jaws of everybody, including us in Israel, the plan to take over Gaza, level it, turn it into Mare Gaza, which would involve relocating the civilians. Now, why he put forward such a controversial plan, you know, many of the school of thought that, first of all, it is the plan, and President Trump thinks out the box, and whatever has been put forward in the past clearly hasn't worked. The other school of thought is that he put it out there to kind of force the hands of Arab states. Now, the Arab states have put forward their proposals, which have been rejected by the US. And I would like to actually read through these proposals. It will be interesting to see. We do know what's in the Egyptian proposal, and nowhere do they deal with de-radicalization and the removal of Hamas. So that will not be accepted, but not by Israel, not by a long shot. Israel wants a demilitarized Gaza Strip and a de-radicalized Gaza Strip, and no Hamas in power. In fact, no Hamas at all, whether or not that is in fact even possible. The race is on for a viable option for the Gaza Strip. Prime Minister Netanyahu, when he addressed Congress last year, spoke about maybe having local Palestinians taking accountability, working maybe in tandem with more, we'll say, moderate Arab states. Maybe that's a better option. But From Israel's perspective, we don't want Hamas and actually the Palestinian Authority either.
Indeed. Rolene, would you believe it? We've got to wrap up another chat session on the Afternoon Overdrive, but always a pleasure having you on board. And thanks so much once again for joining us on the show. No doubt there's going to be a lot more to unpack tomorrow, certainly about reports coming out following October the 7th. Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation.